What up, what up, what up? This is your man Sam, host of the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Man, we got a good one coming up. But first, as always, we got to pay some bills. Do not fast forward this. A few of y'all have been fast forwarding this. Come on, man. Just be cool with it. Just be cool. Just don't fast forward this. All right, here we go. Before we get to our guests, before we get into the podcast, before we get into all of this, we got to pay some bills around here. When it comes down to paying some bills, I want to say a big thank you to those who subscribed, rated, and reviewed on iTunes. We're on iTunes. You guys took the time out of your busy schedule just to say you like to, you know, like the show. Gave us some 5-star ratings out there. Thank you so very, very, very much. And also, some of those stopped by the home site, samshownation.com, clicked the donate button, and they kicked in a couple of shekels just to help us out. Look, this is a whole crowdsource project here. You guys give a little bit, and it goes a long way. I mean, the donate button. For those who don't know, you could go to samshownation.com, click the donate button on the homepage or the current promotion page, and give from $1 to $6.5 million if you just got it laying around the house. I mean, that'd be good. You guys help the podcast, and we give you guys the free money. You guys are making this podcast stay free and, you know, kind of stay funny. So you guys, you know, that's a good way of doing it. We got two sponsors this week. This sponsor, first off, I mean, when it comes down to it, hotels.com. Look, you guys travel. You guys go places. Some people went to Mardi Gras. Somebody clicked the link. You do it at samshownation.com under current promotions page. You click the link at hotels.com. Hotels.com has over 150,000 hotels in the U.S. International. I didn't even count international. I don't even know what it is international. It's a lot that you could do, whether you're traveling for business, whether you're traveling for pleasure, whether you're traveling just to get out of the house, just to get away from people who've been busting your ass, just so you can get some type of silence. Go to samshownation.com, click the link at hotels.com, and get a good deal. Get a good deal on some hotels. Last minute, don't matter. Go to hotels.com, be at samshownation.com. Second sponsor that we have today is the good folks at amazon.com. I mean, who didn't see that one coming? Amazon.com. Look, let's face it, it's the internet. You're listening to me, so I know you're on the internet. You're going to go shop. You can get whatever you want from amazon.com. Whatever you feel like buying. Only thing we ask, you go to samshownation.com, click the Amazon link, and shop as you normally would. You can buy whatever you want. You can buy a purse. You can buy some mouse pads. You can buy albums. You can buy that, you know, that Matchbox car set you had your eye on. Whatever Amazon have, go ahead, buy it. It's cool. That's just what it is. Only thing we ask, stop by samshownation.com, click the link, shop as you normally would. You help the podcast stay free, we get a couple of shekels, not gonna lie to you, given by the good folks, we get a cut. But it all goes right back into the podcast, helping us stay free. Alright, as far as our guests, and we're about to talk to in a few minutes. Our guests, if you don't know her by now, if you stand in D, you probably ran into her and didn't know it. I'm one of those people. She's Karen Humper. Founder of Detroit Hunger Alliance, internet radio DJ on rawradio.com. She can be heard every week, Monday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. on rawradiox.com. We post our stuff Saturdays and you can get through the rest of the week, but you got to hear her live. Hear her live, rawradiox.com. It's the corner with K-Hub. She going to bring that corner. I mean, she's a good, hands down, good person, been through a lot of adversity, and I've been posting it for the month of March. It's Women's History Month, so we're going to kick off March with a little girl power from a person who is 5'1", I believe, full of heart, full of what she lacks in size. She totally makes up in heart. She makes up in sex. She's raw. She's on Raw Radio. She better be raw. But anyway, she's bringing all of that to the podcast. You can hear in about, I don't know, a minute and a half. I will see y'all in a few. This is Just Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now.
Seriously.
Review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
What is up, Sam Show audience? Man, we got a good one for y'all today. I'm sitting here with, I don't know what to call her at this point. I mean, she's great. Let's start there, man. She's a hero, the champion of girl power. We talked on the phone. We're starting off for the month of March, having some strong women on, you know, because March is Women's History Month, having some strong women on the podcast, and we reached out and we got this person. She's 5'2". Strong, this Goliath, the girl power, this Lothario with a labia, that's what it is, man. Give it up for Karen Hubbard. How you doing, Karen?
I am good. How are you doing?
I am good and slightly intimidated.
Don't be.
What I mean by intimidated is, we joked about this on the phone, podcaster, broadcaster, we're not supposed to like each other, it's just a lot of trading pain here. But after doing some homework, me and you talked, you are a very, very interesting person.
Well,
that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just how we are going to say this. You are a very interesting person. Before we even start, we don't get into all this stuff. Twitter, Facebook, where can they find you? Go.
Well, they can first find me at www.rawradiox.com, where you will find my live broadcast show, and it will premiere on February 25th. So we're just a little bit over a week away from my live broadcast.
By the time they hear this, it's already up.
It's up.
It's up.
Never mind.
Keep in mind, it's the first week of March. When this is going up.
First week of March, you're also going to catch me on rawradiox.com on Monday nights.
At two shows. It's called The Corner.
Called The Corner. It is. The Corner with K-Hub.
And you're sitting here with K-Hub. Man, speaking of radio, let's just start there.
I don't hear anything.
No. Oh, no. You can say it out loud. I just turned the feedback off. That is the most annoying thing on the face of the planet.
I'm like, yeah, I'm always used to hearing it back.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hear you.
Yeah, I know. Because we're talking.
I hear you.
This is a conversation. We're talking. See how we're different?
We're different.
Like, I could turn it on if you want.
No, I'm
but
good.
I'm just like, this is a conversation. We're sitting back. We're drinking our coffee.
That's right. Well, you know, and by day, I have a day job. And mm-hmm. I like to call myself Betty the Operator because I wear one of these stupid things all day.
Okay, so you should be used to it.
I'm used to it, but I'm usually hearing something.
Yeah, hearing stuff.
Beeps, clicks, monitoring from, you know, Big Brother.
We turn it off only when we're in close quarters and we can actually hear each other. But, like, when we do live shows and stuff like that, obviously we turn it on so we can hear each other.
Right. See, I'm not technologically good like that.
See, we're good. This is a podcast world. Welcome to stepping out of radio, coming to the podcast. See, this is what we're talking about right here.
This is a challenge.
It's different. We open up. We like to, like, especially when we talk to radio guys like yourself, we like what we call overshare because it's simply a conversation and people just open up and they just start talking more and more about whatever happened.
Right.
I've dabbled with radio for a second. You get 6 minutes to talk about whatever the hell you're going to talk about, and then you're out.
Right.
Yeah, there's some producer like, all right, you did enough time.
We're
going to move over to the next person. We're going to play a song. There is no song playing. There is no. It's just, we got an hour, girl. We've been sitting down. We've been get into it.
Nice. I can talk, so be ready.
You can be real. You can swear. I think I drop hell and I'll just say fuck. You can swear. It's just two people having a grown up conversation. People are listening to it and people love it. And this is the difference between us.
I dig it.
All right. Not only are you in radio, let's go with your community work. That's where me and you met the first time but didn't know each other.
Correct.
Also, your community. Come on, talk about it.
You know what? I've always found a passion for the people, especially in Detroit. I was raised here, and it always broke my heart as a little girl to see in East English Village growing up people holding street signs saying they're hungry, we'll work for food. Mm-hmm. So I would always try to get my dad to bring these people home. I'm like, look, Dad. Okay. Bring them home. Give them a job to paint. Do something. Then you can give them a sandwich, Dad, and then they'll eat.
Slow down. They're on the street for a reason.
You know what? Right. But it's a people situation.
I get it. You got a big heart.
Yeah. So that didn't always work out as a child. And then, I had started to get pretty heavily involved about 3 years ago back into the local community because I felt like I was really missing something in my life. My life was going well, mm-hmm. but I felt like I needed to give back a little bit.
Okay.
And I felt like if I started to do that more, that other things that weren't going so well would improve.
Like a karma situation?
A little bit.
All right.
A little bit. I believe in karma. I believe that do unto others as you want done to you. I think that's important.
Okay.
So I started, we had started an unstructured network, and we were doing feedings down at Cass Park in front of Masonic Temple.
That's where we met.
Mm-hmm. And we were doing the bi-monthly feedings where we were just bringing it out barbecue style, partying in the park just with anyone who's going to come and eat a meal.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for a long time, and I loved it. You get to know the people in the community. You get to feel the vibe of what's going on.
Hey.
You get to hear the stories of what's behind Detroit.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't live in Detroit, we have a downtown. It's gorgeous.
Yay.
The 6 blocks that you walk are amazing.
All right. Now, we talked about the locals here for a minute. Those who are not in Detroit, it is wonderful. Dangerous as hell.
Yeah.
But wonderful.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Looks great, but don't go.
Don't stand down. Don't stand there.
No, don't stay. Keep walking and, and stay on the main streets unless you're crazy and a Detroiter because then you just do what you do.
Mm-hmm. Because, as a person, we done went different places. Second, you throw out that D, hey, where you from? I'm from Detroit.
Oh.
Much respect.
Right.
It's like a prison fear. It's like, yeah.
It is.
Every 9 times out of 10, whenever I say I'm from the D, they just say, oh, you have seen some shit.
Absolutely. And I talked to a police sergeant on the phone today. He's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with him a lot on the telephone. And he asked today, we had never really discussed where I was from. And he says, where are you from? And I said, Detroit, Michigan, sir. He said, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's an appropriate response.
And he said, well, he says, I'm in an athletic league here, and it's a national police athletic league, and there's a team that comes from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and I have never heard some things in my life. I said, it's Detroit. You should visit one day. But I love it here. I have never dreamed of moving, and especially now that I've thrown myself into the community.
Okay. Well, you can't leave now because, you're a big piece of it, so you can't even – if you want – okay. One of the things I want to touch, I don't even know how to get this. I've done homework. This is essentially a comedy podcast. Well, we get deep sometimes.
Right.
You have had a lot of, lack of a better word, misfortune. All right, let's just the lightest word I can use, misfortune. And the big C, you had it. Yeah, cancer.
I had cancer twice.
Okay, talk. Just talk. There's no way. I'm gonna pepper some jokes in later. But go ahead.
You can joke in this too, because the way I see it is that cancer is environmental, and you can beat it if you're determined. I look at my life right now, and where you have heard some of the stories about me,
mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, she's dealt with some shit.
Yeah.
This is misfortune, you said.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not. It is the strongest fortune I have ever received in my life. Because when you are stricken with anything devastating, you have two choices. And your choices are you live or you die.
All right. Can't get more simple than that.
And yeah, and when you're presented with that opportunity, I really didn't feel ever in my life that my choice is to die.
All right.
So I'm like, all right, whatever it is we're going to deal with, I'm going to kick its ass.
And that's what I was getting at. That's kind of what I was getting at. You beat it, not once, but twice.
Twice.
How was that not on your business card? Hi, I'm K-Hub, I'm with Kansas ass. Twice. Two rounds.
I would start
and end my phone conversations with that. Hi, Karen. I whip cancer's ass. Go on.
You know, it's not there because it's not something that I think defines me overall.
If that doesn't, I mean, how many accolades you want?
Well, I think I have a lot of accolades in life, but I just don't think that item, I mean, and it can be a very touchy situation because what I get presented with a lot, especially dealing with the cancers I had, mine were all female. It was vaginal, cervical, and uterine.
All right. Just go. Just go.
So when you deal with this kind of stuff and then you beat it without chemo or radiation, you get one of two responses. What a wonderful thing, or my sister died, and then you're like, ugh.
Sister wasn't strong enough, man. I told you, Lothario over the labia. Go on, what? What you want? I whip Kansas ass. Maybe your sister, you know, she need a cut, man. She need to be in a corner. No pun intended. she needed something. She needed a Rocky, you know, HGH, whatever.
Right, but what she really needed to do was stop eating fast food. She needed to stop listening to a Western medicine doctor, and she needed to take responsibility for her own life.
Okay, it's funny you touch on that. When you say, like, eating fast food and Western medicine, now, I've heard things, Eastern medicine, Western medicine. Tell me how you went through it, or how did you take it when you got it the first time, or what happened?
I was in Jamaica partying. Yep, I was in Jamaica, and my doctor...
Fucking buzzkill.
Yep. No, there's no buzzkill, because when you got enough drugs to supply an entire country back then in the day, you were all right with it. You're like, whatever, man, I'll deal with that when I get home. I'm on vacation. We can't fix it right now. So I'm going to continue to snorkel and lay on a beach.
Yes, I will get those jet skis. I don't holler at cats when I get home.
That's right.
And YOLO, bitches.
If I'm...
YOLO.
So the doctor called, and he never usually calls, and he says, you know, I need to see you in my office right now. And I said, well, you can wait, and you've been my doctor for a long time. So tell me on the phone, because you're calling, so there's a problem. So he says, well, you know, you have a stage 2B cervical cancer. And I'm like, what does that even mean? He's like, well, stage 4A is terminal. I'm like, well, I don't know what that means, so.
That is the you're going to die conversation.
Yeah.
We going out. No, all right, I got to drop off Tasha. She pregnant and stuff. I'll drop her off at the house. Man, you, how much drugs were you on where it just didn't register? Where you just,
it registered. What am I going to do?
Like, how was you getting it in? It was just kind of like, yeah, man.
I was getting it in pretty hard. I was pretty high for a few days. But, you know, at that point, it's like, what can I do about it right now? Right at this situation, I can either stress about it, or I can have fun on the vacation that I just planned and deal with that mess when I get home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing I have to ask.
What?
Did you in any way, shape, or form hit it yourself? Was that a, like, live-die situation? Was that more of a, like, that phone call is frightening.
It is.
I mean, just realistically, inside looking out, I mean, like, if I got that phone call, you're going to die, I'm tearing it up. You, right idea. You was in Jamaica, right idea.
Right. Like,
but that, I would go then.
Past the eight ball. Like, oh. I mean, that's all we're going to do at that point because, you know, I have at this point, I have a young child at home.
Uh-huh.
And that that's what really made the determination in my head of, well, there's not an option here but to live. So, I partied.
Obviously.
I accepted what he said. When I got back, I went to the doctor and I said, he's like, well, you know, we have to send you down to Carmanos. You have to get cancer antigen tests and, you know, PET scans and CT scans and oncology appointments. And I'm like, my head is spinning. And not only this, because I just think that medical is really expensive.
Oh, you just hungover. That's all.
Hungover too. Yeah. And then you worry. You're like, oh my God, what are they going to find in my system? Oh. And then they're going to take my baby because I've been partying for 10 days in Jamaica. Yeah, you worry about some things. So I entertain what's happening, and I'm like, all right, we're going to...
Entertain.
I do. I entertain it, because that's all it's going to be is entertainment at this point.
Okay.
Like, I'm just not going to accept the fact that I'm sick. But I was extremely heavy at that point. I was probably weighing in... That was in 02. Okay. I was probably weighing in at 270. 260.
No, you wasn't.
Yes, I was.
I got it here. I got it. I know, off mic. Like, I got it here to talk about your weight loss, but okay, continue. I'm sorry. I don't even want
to. So I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm a biscuit away from a heart attack, and now I've got cancer, so something's got to give.
Uh huh.
So I go to the doctor. I come down here to Carmanos, and I sit with the cancer doctors, and I don't even remember his name. That's how unimpressionable he was.
Okay. Please, continue.
And he grabs my hand and he's like, you know, it's pretty aggressive for you to go from a zero to nothing in exactly 1 year time from my last visit with the OBGYN.
Right.
To having a stage 2B. He's like, that's pretty aggressive cancer, you know, and, uh-huh. and we got to take care of this. You know, let's talk about chemo and radiation. And he grabbed my hand and you know, I was upset crying at that point because I'm like faced with, wow, this is serious.
This is serious, yeah.
And I said, well, what are the other alternatives? And he's like, well, there really isn't because the cells are very aggressive and you have to kill those. And he grabbed my hand and the words out of his mouth were, all we do is cancer. And
that's weird.
Yeah. And I said, and so I removed my hand. I pulled back and I said, so you don't do patients? Because I'm not cancer. I'm a patient.
Okay. Okay. Continue. I have a lot of follow-up questions right there because you got this fighter spirit in you. Like, I knew it because I did my homework on you, but I didn't know it to this degree. Like, you're like, hey, you know, real talk, you can do cancer all you want, but, you know, I'm a patient, so what you got for me?
Right. Like, I'm a person. I'm not a dollar. I am a dollar in their mind. But, you know, and he says, well, what do you mean by that? He says, but we our specialty is cancer. I said, but you said all we do is cancer. I said, and wordplay is very important in life. I said, so yeah. If all you do is cancer, I'm sitting in your chair so you can generate copays and treat me like a lab rat.
Fiscal cliff.
Yeah. You know, doctors in the grander scheme of life, they're paid to practice. They earn a practice.
You know, I didn't even think about it like that. I never really thought about it like that. It is a practice.
It's a practice.
You can mess up.
You know what that motherfucker does just like I do? He Googles my issue.
Oh.
You know it. He Googles it.
That's how I prepare for this interview.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the doctors are doing, saying, okay, cells are growing this fast, and they type it in, and then they get some answers.
Hell, I could have been a doctor.
I could have been a doctor, too, but I you know.
I got Google. I'm a doctor.
Right. Right. And if you can cut a straight line, you're good to go.
All right.
So I thanked him for his time, and I walked out. And I didn't get any of the blood tests, and then my physician pressured me further to get the blood test. So I said, okay. So I had a big, long conversation. I went back to him. I said, this is clearly not working out. Whatever's going on here, we can fix this. So he says, well, what kind of alternatives do you have in mind? And I said, well, you know, something else is wrong. There's got to be something linked to food. So I just started doing research, a lot of it, between food, environmental situations, candles, heavy metals, the water that you drink, the way you prepare your food, the items that are in the boxed food that you eat, a hamburger helper.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. And realizing that every day you walk outside and you breathe, you have just created an environmental situation for yourself. Because there's toxins in the air. And even though...
This is the Motor City.
It is the Motor City.
Come on. Take it as you see it, girls.
I don't want to huff on the exhaust pipe, though.
Yeah.
Some might like that. So I just started doing some research, and then I, you know, got exposed to organic foods and holistic healing. And so I started working with my physician, and I did have a bunch of surgery. It was necessary because they do have to cut out those bad cells.
Well, all right.
So I had some surgeries and a lot of different procedures, and I was a pincushion for a long time.
When you say pincushion, do you mean like pincushion or actual Eastern medicine pincushion, like acupuncture and all of it?
Both methods.
That bothers me.
You don't feel it.
But putting pins in you, lighting them on fire.
It's a electrode system that once, and the pins are pushed into the receptors of the nerve. Depending on the points of the nerve that you hit is what will assist in resolution of an ailment.
Is it like a, I mean, like, what is it? I've been stuck with a pin. The pain itself, I've gotten shots and needles. That doesn't really bother me. It's just what happens afterwards? Is it like a release? No one has ever been able to tell me the after effect.
I'll say that, yeah, you feel very thirsty. I think, and I haven't done a ton of research on acupuncture because I've only had acupuncture twice.
Oh, okay.
But I'll say that I feel like it worked. It was productive sessions. It seems like with the nerves where they place those needles and then the electrodes that are hooked up, it creates a current through your body, and then it kind of realigns your neurological system.
All new to me.
Yeah.
All new to me.
And it's like an ancient technique of, an ancient technique of release through realignment of natural element within your body. Your body is a magnet. Your body is a natural element. Your body runs like a battery. You have to treat it as such.
Okay. I drink like a fish. Does Will something come out of me when he sticks me with that pen? Hell, if I take a piss test right now, I'll have an olive in it.
No, no, it's not going to do any of that. I drink a lot. I like to drink.
All right.
I still drink, and it's terrible. I still eat bad once in a while, and it's terrible. And being a two-time cancer survivor, I smoke.
So you just didn't learn your lesson, or you just so confident whipping Kansas ass and like, all right, whatever.
No, because I tell you what, that lung cancer, that'll get you, and that's fast. So actually, I have a step. My deadline is March 1st. That's it. I'm done. I have made a plan because I've beat so many things in my life. Cigarettes is the last thing I have to beat, and it's been the hardest. Cancer was easier than quitting smoking.
That's some hard. God damn. Philip Morris, motherfucker.
And I roll my own, and I sometimes use organic tobacco, but I won't pay those prices.
Philip Morris, well, you straight up said I whipped cancer 2 times, but I'm really scared to quit smoking.
Yeah.
I don't know how to process that. Like, I would come, like I said, I would have that same boldness of like, all right, what, cats going to get me again? Woohoo.
Right, like, come get me.
Like, whip your ass again. That's my
right,
quarter.
Right.
Yeah, I meant that quarter. One. That was my.
That was good. You can own that today.
It's yours. We on the other corner.
That's right.
This is yours.
That's right. This is Sam's corner. Cam's corner's over there where she's whooping cancer's ass.
I know. I don't
running nonprofits.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't fuck with that corner. That's some real stuff over that corner.
Yeah, that corner's been good to me, though, on a lot of levels, too.
I see. And you touched on it a bit. I want to get into it now. Weight loss.
Yeah.
Okay. You 270. I'm looking at you right now. I don't see it.
Well, my peak was 298.
Couldn't make the three? Couldn't make it three? Couldn't go out at an even three?
I probably was at one point, but maybe he weighed me when I didn't eat, like, an entire army's worth of breakfast that morning. Who knows? Here, okay. In fact, I was showing this at work today. This was me in 05 in the top. For the listeners, I'm going to show a picture. We'll post it on your show if you'd like.
Okay, yeah.
This is me on the top in 05.
That's
and I
not
was,
you.
Yeah, sitting at about 250
That's
there.
That's not you.
That's me.
That's not you.
That's me. Look at my face.
Whatever. That's not you.
That was me. That was my honeymoon in Jamaica. That was the second time to Jamaica.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to post this on the Facebook page along with this episode. And I don't believe it. I choose not to. No, that's not you.
And I can tell you this. I did not have a gastric bypass.
Okay, that's my next question.
I did not take a diet pill.
Okay, how?
Food and exercise.
So, Are you the Jillian Michaels no one knows about, or how?
No, because she clearly doesn't drink or smoke or party on a boat all summer. I feel like I should be in that little skit, you know, from Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I'm on a boat, motherfucker.
Yes,
because that's how I train. That's how I train for running races in the summer. I drink and smoke it up on a boat.
My mind is blown. Okay, yeah, I trade for running by drinking and smoking. I ran one marathon, Detroit Marathon.
I ain't trying to run a marathon. That's a lot.
26 miles for most of a summer.
Were you on speed?
Nope. No booze, all carbs, and just worked out just worked out. I crossed the finish line and asked for a beer. I wanted it so bad because I trained for it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She's right. I didn't ask for a beer. I demanded a beer. Well,
Tasha
sleep.
Tasha got it going
sleep.
On over here.
Sleep, then beer. Okay.
Tasha.
Now you just said no, you did just to say. Yeah, I mean, like, now you just said no, you did just to say.
I'm going to have to hear Tasha's side of this story one day.
Oh, please. But, yeah, sleep, then beer. Mm-hmm. I was a punk. I will say this, like, I crossed the finish line, and I was like, yeah, I did it. That adrenaline wore off, and I was just like, I gotta go home, man. I gotta go home. I was a little, look, my dad talked to me that night, and he told me, sometimes it takes a big man to cry like a little girl. And I did, because that next day, all of this hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And I trained. You drank and smoked on a boat. To train for running.
And I think the night before my race in July, I think I was out until like 2 o'clock in the morning drinking. And then I had to drive to Ypsilanti and run that shit uphill through downtown Ypsilanti.
Shout out to Ypsi. I came from Eastern. What's up, y'all? Fuck it. You passed the wood nickel, you ran up the hill.
I did. I ran up that hill.
And then
I think I was having a bad experience because there was this guy I used to see and his new wife, and they were running next to me, and I used to be
there
fat.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. All right. That's the motivation right there. You got anger on your side. If you got anger on your side, you can do anything.
Well, there was really no anger. It was all about he hadn't seen me since I had lost all this weight. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to, because I heard.
Well, let me finish. You didn't have anger. You had show off.
Yeah.
You wanted to show the, you could have had this. I was three of me, but when you had me, look at this.
Yep.
You just sprint past them, but you slow it down right at that moment. You get your little, you show the little calf.
Right.
Just a little bit of calf. Just like, yeah. And then you run faster.
Yeah.
Okay, so you shredded weight. What? All right. For obviously vanity.
Absolutely.
But also for health and all that other good stuff. But how you feel? Because honestly, you're two different people. The person I saw in that phone is not who I'm looking at now. And if that was 2002.
No, that was 05.
Okay, 05. So we are 7 years, give or take, from Fat You. What? I'm sorry. That's you. It's Fat You.
It was Fat
it's
Me.
Fat You.
I could roll faster than I could walk.
And we got you now. Do you go back? Do you burn all your pictures? Do
No.
you have a new identity?
No.
You're just like, you just choose not to exist, that person?
No, my personality didn't change. And a lot of people who lose weight, they lose their personality. I've seen it happen in
a couple people,
you know, in my own family, you know, even someone had lost a personality. And I'm thinking, how does that change you?
I can tell you how that changes. Easy. Granted, I've never had that situation happen to me. I'm actually going the other way. I could be a soldier for fortune right now. But here's how it happens. It's so vain. And I'm speaking on behalf of guys and girls. Think about it. When you're chubsy-ubsy over there, nobody asks you for nothing. You didn't get asked at a prom.
See, but not in my world. That was not like that in my world.
But I'm just showing you how people can change. It's just like all those doors was closed to Fatty.
Right.
And you become hot and all those doors are now open because you are attractive. You have some go-getter. You're not the butt of a Dunkin' Donuts joke. You're You're hot now.
Right.
So now those doors are open that, and your mind is still, you're still that chubby fat girl in
forever.
Your brain.
Yep.
So you're not used to this newfound attention you're getting. You just go crazy.
That is really hard to deal with. And I'll tell you this. Here's what I have found over the course of my life. And I was big in school. I graduated high school at a size.
Of course you was big in school. We just saw the picture.
Yeah. You know, I graduated at a size 20. You know, I was big, but I was athletic, and I have thyroid disease, and that attributed to a lot of the weight situation.
Okay.
So once that became a little bit under control, and then I started with the environmental changes, the food, the diet, the not burning scented candles.
Okay.
And Glade plugins in my wall, because that's poison.
Really?
Yes.
Can you say that louder and direct it over there?
It's poison.
Whatever.
The natural, yes, absolutely. I'll send you some holistic and natural alternatives, Tasha. So I've dealt with both ends of a spectrum now, and here's what I find. My personality has always been outgoing, boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
I do it because as the fat kid, I had to fit in.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, and I always had a lot of friends. I have a lot of long-term friends. Bitches hated me when I was fat.
Yes.
And bitches hate me now.
I kind of hate you a little bit.
And you know what? It's like, man, here I sit through this life I live, and I'm like, I can't do shit right by anybody. Like, I'm fat, and no one wants to be nice to me because I'm fat. And then I'm thin, and no one wants to be nice because I'm thin. So I quit worrying about all them and just started worrying about me.
Yeah. You kind of have to. It's an adapt. Is it? Mm-hmm. And I kind of, like, doing my homework, I could kind of pick it up a little bit, mainly because you have to learn how to be, whether it be fat or whether it be skinny you. I've had that, too, where you have to learn how to be cool. You have to, my case, I had to learn how to talk and be funny.
Right.
Short kid, pretty skinny, had astigmatism. Not a lot of people lining up to, like, you know.
Right.
You know, I couldn't get into a gang. It was weird. Like, the Crips have my resume, but that's about it. You know,
like, nah, man, you're too Urkel. You can't.
Like, you can't. Yeah, I know. You can't do anything except be the smart guy in the class.
Right.
So
right.
I would imagine, like, fat you would have to be the, you have to be the life of the party if
yes.
you want to, because there's a little thing inside of you. Well, we're podcaster, radio person, and performers.
Right.
There's that little thing in the back of your mind that says, notice me, hey, I'm here, or whatever.
Right.
Well,
right.
Couldn't help but notice you.
Right. Well, and for the listeners, you know, I dress a little eclectic sometimes, and I'm wearing, like, these striped tights.
Is that a thing, or is that just coincidence? I saw the picture, and now I see you got the striped tights again.
Which picture has striped tights?
The one, the black and white one. Actually, the one in my phone.
My show page?
Yeah, your show page.
That's fishnets.
Really? Oh, well, either way.
Always, I don't wear a lot of pants.
Okay.
You're
skinny now. Show it off.
Not even that, you know, I mean, but no, here's what it is.
You beat 200 pounds, almost. You whipped Kansas ass twice. I think you earned the right not to wear pants.
I feel like I have to always wear tights and, like, clothes that hug me. Because here's why. My second cancer surgery, I'm split horizontally from the outside of my hip all the way across to the outside of my hip.
Mm.
So I always feel like, even though I'm all sewn up, that I am going to fall out. Like, my guts are going to fall out. And they're not, but
I feel
like
rather
them
fall into on the ground instead of just having some pants to just hold it up, where you could fake it a little bit to
yeah.
get to the hospital.
No, the tights offer good support.
Where
just
is
in
my
case.
Phone? All right, no, I just wanted to show her the picture I had of her. Yeah, we'll do that later, because we're just eating up time. I'm not going to get through all of this, so we're just going to talk. One other thing, like, okay, you whip Kansas ass
mm-hmm.
twice. You beat weight loss, you lost some friends, you're skinny, you're a dynamo now. You got this, is not an insult, but I don't know, now you got this, like, cougar-esque vibe a little bit. You got a little bit of it. You know?
I got to say, I dig the dirty 30s,
yeah.
hardcore. I
yeah.
am having the time of my life.
You should.
Yep.
You checked in. Okay. I can't stress this enough. You fought for your life three times.
four.
What am I missing? Okay.
Well, I had a very abusive boyfriend that decided he was going to slam my head into a table and split it open and, you know.
Fat you or hot you?
Hot. Well, hot me.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I'm like a cat. I'm better than a cat because I don't think my lives are endless ever.
Okay. All right. I was going to say this for the last thing. I got to ask. You talk about parenthood. We talked a little bit off mic.
Yeah.
Soon to be myself.
Yes.
But
congratulations. Thanks. I can't wait.
But when we talked to you, you said, yeah, you talked about your kids. How do they look at you? Is it more like a, oh, that's just mom. We get it. She's really good at confronting adversity.
A lot of the situations that we've dealt with has really brought us together as a family. My children are amazing kids. They're exemplary students. They're athletes and dancers and musicians, mm-hmm. you know. And my stepdaughter as well. She's mine. She's my daughter.
Okay,
I just like
okay.
to call her that. You know, she is equally as amazing as the children that came directly from me.
Granted, you rose the bar extremely high for her now. Because,
bit.
Like, yeah, I'm living. I'm doing this. I'm with Kansas ass three times. Anything, adversity, I whip ass, your turn.
And they do it, and they do it all on their own. They take their own initiative to.
Oh, that's sweet, man.
And, but you know what? I mean, it hasn't been without struggle. These kids have seen me go through these surgeries, and, you know, these kids have seen me, you know, get beaten, or I should, they haven't physically seen me get beaten up, but they've seen the after effects
okay.
of that. You know, they've been right in the bunker during the war with me during all of this, and, they know. I had hemorrhaged after this massive surgery in 2010.
Okay.
So I was rushed back to the hospital, and the boys were at home. And I gave my oldest a kiss on the head. And he was the one, when he was five, who looked me in my eyes and said, Mama, are you going to die? And the answer is always no. No. And so I kissed him on the head on my way to the hospital hemorrhaging. And he grabbed me by my cheeks. And he said, it's not your time yet. So don't you worry. I'll see you in a couple hours. And that's how we do
it.
You're
not going to make me cry, dog. You're not going to make me cry.
They're powerful kids. And they're supportive. And they're loving. And they're understanding. And
all right. Wow. You're not going to make me cry. Tasha, she get a little bit over there. But I have to ask, like, in their own lives, when they deal with adversity, do they have that same fighter spirit that you have? Do you kind of, like, teach it to them? Or is it just natural?
It's natural. Because with Detroit Hunger Alliance, we are constantly in the streets. I take my children where people won't even consider driving through.
Chaos Park being one of them?
Chaos Park being one of them. And my children sit and have a meal or serve a meal or talk to, you know, the citizens who are struggling. And my children are involved. And the diversity and the adversity both, it's just ingrained in them. And I think it's because they realize at this point in our life that if something happens, it doesn't matter who you are. If I'm laying on a table bleeding, you're going to save me just the same.
When's the movie coming out? I got to ask, where's the movie? God damn, I'll buy a ticket to that. Where's the movie coming out? You know, you being played by Sandra Bullock. We're going to make it. When is that coming out?
You know,
I can see it nine lights. I whip Kansas ass.
I whip Kansas ass. Now, I am a writer and I am a published poet back in the day. So I do write a lot. I write journals and I have strongly considered writing a book and I have a lot of excerpts, but I would have called it From Fat to All That.
From Fat to All That. Not, it don't hit you in the stomach like I whip Kansas ass. From Fat to All That.
I whip Kansas ass. That could be like the second book in the series. No, that would have to be the first book. Because
it would be the first book.
And
I
then,
whip Kansas
and then
ass.
Then
you have to go
that.
In order. So, yeah.
Right.
So, okay. Now, you have a lot on your plate.
I do.
This is a ham-fisted segue. Whatever. You, at back to radio, you in the music scene with Detroit.
Yes.
All right, this podcast, if you've been doing your homework, we stumbled on the music scene. And it messes my brain up because I love all my musical guests who showed up. I love all the artists that we've been fortunate to check out. But I'm like, there's some people who really give a fuck what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was a complete fluke, but I'm glad I'm here from my point of view, you are in radio. You sought out for this. Yeah. How do you feel about it, Detroit, the music scene, when you have groups? Do you have a favorite group? I'm going to shut up now.
I do. There's so many. And because I also have a promotions company, Wicked mm-hmm. Skull Promotions, and that's been in business since 08. So I've been booking shows and dealing with bands since 08. Mm-hmm. So it's really helped me build a local base of what I like. What I really like is rap music.
Okay.
And a lot of it.
Who in your car now?
No one. You want to know why? Because the CD player in Big Blue Bestie is broke down again.
Okay.
So right now we're listening to 107.5 because I like the Detroit hip hop station.
Enough.
I like that one.
Who in your iPod? Rattle it off.
Well, hold on. Let's see what we got. Well, we got some PL in there. He's local. I got Risk in here. I got Trig the Kid in here. On the rock side, I got this new phone. It's big, and I don't know how to use it.
Is it Windows?
No, it's Droid.
Okay, all right.
It's the LG Optimus G. I feel like it is a transformer.
Yeah, it's a big phone. I got a Windows phone. I love it. It is what it is.
Right. Ajax and the Midwest Connoisseurs, one of my favorite Detroit hip-hop bands. I got AZ.
All right.
Yeah, I got
so
Rehab.
You got a little local flavor. It's not fake.
Yeah.
That's all I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. It's not fake. You really care about it, but...
I do.
This is a hacky question, and after thinking about it, I will just warn you, it's a hacky question.
Ask it.
I'm pretty sure anyone who you ever had an interview with asked this question, fine. How do you juggle it all? How do you do the mom, the community service, the radio, the talk, the all of it together, the writing? How does it gel?
I don't sleep very much.
Okay, that's a good answer.
All fairness, I don't sleep very much. I get about 5 hours a night.
Okay.
That's substantial to me, but the way I do it is the children are in school. The children are active in a lot of their own things.
Mm-hmm.
That allows me a little bit of downtime to do what I want to do. With the nonprofit, the children are involved. So we do that together.
Okay. It's a regular Partridge Family.
a little bit, but you know what? I keep it real with the kids. I don't hide things from them. I don't shelter them from cussing. I let them have their own beliefs. We have an open door policy. Like, if you're pissed off at me, you have every right to sit down and tell me what your problem is with me. I don't care if you're 6 or 15.
Huh. All right. I mean... All right.
So, you know, we work like that. You know, we fight through blood, sweat, and tears sometimes.
Literally. If you've been listening to this podcast, yes, literally.
Yes. And then, you know, with the radio show, I mean, you know, I kind of took a break over the last year to just kind of recompose some things I wanted to do. I kind of fell out of the scene a little bit and didn't go away, but just kind of stepped back a little bit to kind of watch what was going to happen.
Okay.
It was a good choice for me. So then I was presented with the Raw Radio Show, and that's 2 hours a night on a Monday, and then my promotions, which the kids are with their dad every other weekend, so I have some free time.
Okay, I get it.
And the nonprofit, we work with several different organizations. We work with the LACLA organization. We work with Orthodox Detroit. We work with other organizations that help us with all of that. So I don't have to be there 100%.
All right, we got listeners. We have a crossover audience that has been brought to my attention since our talks or what have you. There are some like people between us and social media and all that other good stuff. Fine. Talk about your show. What is it like? We post on Sundays. Download us and then listen to her live. All right.
That's
continue.
Right.
Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Us. Then go to her.
That's right. Then come listen to the live show. The Corner with K-Hub is a variety show, and it's something coming from the perspective of me,
mm-hmm.
a little white girl who grew up in the city and has gone through some struggles. So one of my main goals in my show was to not have an everyday regular co-host. Every week on my live show, my co-host is different. So where you...
That's
you,
still a good idea. I mean, you told me that on the phone. God damn it, that's such a good idea.
Yeah. And I think...
Love you. That's a good idea.
And I think that I want to do that because I think people are real. And when you get in someone's face or you're having a conversation, you can really open up about so many different things going on in this community or in our music scene that you could never even be aware of.
Mm.
So I want to bring all different kinds of people in. And we might have some musical guests here and there, but I'm going to spin some music on my show, not just from Detroit, but indie music from everywhere.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of country, so I'm not going to play it.
All right. Well, it's your corner.
It's my corner.
It's your corner.
I'm not going to play it. But we're going to bring all kinds of topics. Health, sex, politics. If you want to talk about religion, we will. You know, we're going to talk about anything that fuels fire. I have a lot of different segments, and I'm not gonna release those till you tune in on Mondays.
Okay, I mean, keep it a little bit, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And us, I wish we was that organized here at Just Talking to Sam podcast. I mean, we are. Tasha is the organizational part, but for the most part, we just put it on the table.
But we're just talking, so...
That's the spirit of the show. We're just talking. I have my stuff here, and I'm just like, okay, go. But I didn't even know about the whole thing with, like, the... I knew the cancer, but I didn't know, like, how widespread it was. Okay, but now, when you got all of that going on, you have your... All right, we like ending, where when we start getting closer in... I Googled some stuff on you, some facts.
Okay.
It could be. Internet is a lie. It could be a lie. I don't trust anything on the internet, but you're a motorcyclist?
I am a motorcyclist.
All right. Please, go on. Show your little Sons of Anarchy Park. Go ahead.
You know what? Here's why I like to ride a motorcycle. It makes me focus.
No shit. Yes.
Because I am not surrounded by anything. I sold my motorcycle, though. It got too heavy for me, and so I did sell it. I would like to get another one.
You got too light for it. Think of it that way.
I did get too light for it. Yeah. It was 352 pounds dry weight, so that's no oil, no gas. And, you know, once you start adding extra chrome and windshields, that's all extra weight.
Okay. Do you miss it?
So much. It makes my heart pound out of my chest right now just talking about it. So, yes, I do miss it.
What? I mean, come on. Open up a little bit. We get dinged on this show on the internet. Like, we overshare. Like,
We overshare. I love it. I'll tell you what.
I love oversharing.
Because you feel like a badass bitch when you are riding a bike.
There you go.
And the men are looking at you, and your booty looks good on the back of your bike, and you got your little skull helmet on, and you're like, yeah.
Drop past that X like, what up?
I got 805 cc's between my thighs, and all you got is 6 inches. Woo. Like, you know, it's a good feeling to kind of put it down on the men once in a while.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, I miss my bike. I do.
All right. Is it coming back?
Maybe.
You say maybe.
Maybe.
That's cold for yeah.
Yeah.
That's cold for yeah.
Well, you know, I got one coming up. You know, he's going to be in college here soon. And
so it's all riding on him. Well, it's all riding on him.
Like, no, he's all riding on me and his dad and the scholarships because Cornell is looking at him.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I get why the bike has to leave. For the greater good.
For the greater good of my family and, you know, their education. But eventually, yeah, I think I would like that. I enjoyed it.
Okay. And we're getting towards the end. I went through pretty much everything I can go through. But since this is Women History Month and cornerstone of girl power that you are, got anything you want to just tell the young ladies who maybe look like my female demographic is weird? But the young ladies who may be listening to this right now,
I'm gonna say a couple things here to the ladies, to all of the ladies. Embrace yourself, because if you don't embrace yourself and you focus on a public image, you will fail every time until you learn to love yourself from the deepest depth of where you're at. Nothing in the world will ever substantiate until you love yourself. So whether you're big, thin, tall, short, blonde, brunette, brown, yellow, white, you know, we are all beautiful. Every single one of us women is beautiful. Don't let men mistreat you because you're worth a lot more than that. Don't let a man spit in your face. Don't let a man put a hand on you. Don't let a man fuck with your kids. You do you. And the rest of your life will fall into place. And to you men?
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good.
Where's your own moth?
No, it's good. To you men, you know, I think embrace your women and stop, you know, for those of you who do it, not everyone does it, but stop placing a false image on your woman. And don't make your woman have such a hard time trying to love you. Don't make her chase you.
Mm.
Work with her. Because you know what? At the end of the day, she's coming home to you and she loves you. So work together as a team and love yourselves and be beautiful in life.
All right. That's good, and I kind of feel like a douche for bringing this one up. Last thing, I'll let you on your way. We like asking all our performers this. Before they go, we always ask about hell gigs. Like, you on the radio, I've had a few myself. I don't know if you have. When we have performers, when we have whatever, you know, whoever shows up. What is a hell gig? A hell gig is like something where nothing went right, and somehow you became stronger from it. We can, or something in your professional life, or something like that.
Hell gig.
If you can sit down and think about it. Real quick.
There's so many. Like, I'm just gonna say one in particular, and it's not even a gig. It was just a whole situation. I was working with a lot of pretty predominant people trying to get, you know, get some investors in an old project I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had brought these people in, and the person running the project basically blew up at these, like, famous people, like record industry people for 30 years, my friends on top of things.
Oh.
I was working with these people on some other projects and started calling them names and saying that he fucked his wife and, you know, and come here and I'll kill you, you weak son of a bitch.
Damn.
And, you know, I mean, and
it's all right on your shoulders.
It's done. It rode on my shoulders and he ruined that relationship for me.
All right.
So that's my major hell gig. Aside from that, everything else I recovered from as far as any type of show. There was a few where I'm like, man, there's six people in this bar. What the hell did we do wrong? But, you know, our band wouldn't show up. But as far as the true hell gig, it's when someone else fucks up your whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a few of those. You're making me think about some stuff mm-hmm. we've had too. It's like, all right, we just gonna soldier through this.
Yeah. So people get called trolls for a reason.
Yeah. What you talking about? Just in life or internet? Because I've had my share of both.
I'll say a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, in life, yeah, I think the trolls leech out too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're little creatures. They're cancers. They're environmental.
Well, you whip cancer's ass,
right.
So it doesn't even matter.
I whip that troll's ass too.
With Karen, as always, it's wonderful having you. One more time, where can they find you on all forms of social media?
They can find me everywhere. www.rawradiox.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter. The show is called The Corner with K-Hub. We will air Monday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So just tune into the
website.
And
I'll make sure I put the links and stuff
sure.
on the Facebook page as well. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I mean, I don't even know how to really end this, but thanks. This hour just flew past.
You gotta end it east side.
That's right. You heard it here, folks. That's The Corner with K-Hub. This is your man, Sam. Just talking with Sam. As always, samshownation.com for all things related to the podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever. On Twitter, SamShow11 at Twitter, Facebook, / Just Talking With Sam, and Nation, I'll see y'all next week. Peace out, y'all. That's it. There you have it. That's my girl, K-Hub. You can hear her every week, Monday night, 7 to 9 on RawRadioX.com. I can't thank her enough for showing up, kicking it with us. A fellow Eastside Detroiter, baby. That's what I'm talking about. We get it in, and like, yeah, it's, you gotta listen to her. Listen to her show. Look, I will make sure I put all the stuff on the Facebook page. There, by the time you see this, you can see her picture and all this other good stuff at samshownation.com, where all your one-stop shop for everything that is the podcast, the Just Talk with Sam podcast, is right there, samshownation.com. But
feel free to hit up K-Hub on Twitter, on Facebook. She gave the messages a minute ago. Whatever form of social media. I don't know if she got an Instagram, but find it. You know, whatever. You know, if you see her, just say congratulations. You know, you stay up. And, we love the corner. Do what you got to do. But check her out. I can't stress that enough. I will put the links up, but until then, I will see you guys next week. www.samshownation.com for all things related to the podcast. We'll make sure we put up a link or some sort for you guys to reach out to her as well. She's amazing. That's how I'm going to end it. That's how I'm going to end it. I feel good about this podcast. That's it. That's all I got. See y'all next week.